Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
I'm telling you, God is good. God wants to speak to you more than you want to listen. God wants you to hear his voice more than you even desire to want to hear him. And our desire to hear him is real strong, right? And we've been talking about that, talking about living with the awareness of hearing him, with an expectation, with an anticipation of hearing God. You know, and we said earlier in the previous messages that I don't know of, you know, many other things, but this thing about hearing God is extremely vital for his people today. We can read the Bible, and we need to read the Bible. We need to digest it. We just really need to get into it. But at the same time, we need to listen, because God is saying something to us. And even after reading and in the process of reading, just ask him, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. You know, it's one thing to hear things. It's another thing to listen. And, you know, I think a lot of times we say, did you hear me? Well, I heard you. Brenda says that. Did you hear me? Yeah. Next question. Did you listen? Well, maybe not this time, but I am now. You know, sometimes that's the way we can be with God. And we want to make sure that we live in the awareness of his heavenly voice. We talked about, you know, we must stop believing the lie that God does not speak today. We've already covered that. So this is just some of the points we've covered before. It says, stop believing the lie that he's not going to talk to you. He don't have anything to say to you. That's a lie. God doesn't speak today. That's a lie. He does speak to you. And his desire is for you to hear him and listen to him and be attentive to him. Number two is your living depends upon God speaking. You know, with Jesus created all things, he did it by his word. He just spoke, and it was, and he's holding everything together. I tell you what, you try to hold this world together. Let's narrow it down a little bit. You try to hold all your circumstances together, just your circumstances together. It's, you know, I mean, he is worthy of all of our praise, but he holds it together with his word. We need to choose to hear from God. You know, the people of, you know, during Moses' day, he was going to invite them and introduce God to them. Boy, I really do love that. You know, Moses, the leader, was going to introduce God to the people. And then when they came, they got all afraid of the smoke and the lightning and the mountain and all that. Said, oh, no. Look, you talk to us. We don't want to hear from him. You let him tell you, then you tell us. See, they just desired rules over relationship. And we need to walk in the relationship that we have with him. Amen. So the next thing is develop an expectation and hunger to hear God. Are you hungry to hear him? You know, we need to hunger and thirst to hear him. I want to hear him. I want to hear him every day. I want to hear what he has to say. I want to hear what he has to tell me. I know he tells you that you are his child. You ever heard that from him? You belong to me. Don't worry about what they can do to you. You belong to me. I've heard that from him before, and it brings such peace really to just over me and in my life just to hear him say that. Because, you know, a lot of the world is not saying that to me. They're calling me a this and calling you that and saying all this about you and saying all that about you. But, you know, what does God say about you? That's what matters. What is God saying about you? What has he said about you? And what is he saying about you? What is he saying about you now? And we need to develop that expectation to hear God and a hunger to be in that place. And we talked last week about Moses hearing God and at the burning bush, and how he had to lay down and throw down his staff in order to have his identity changed, his livelihood changed, and his influence to be changed. You know, you and I have very little influence. But with the light of the Lord inside us, we have enough influence to influence whomever it is God sends us to. Don't ever be intimidated when God is sending you or having you standing before somebody, and then you have this unction to say something to them about the Lord. Don't be fearful. Let them just go ahead and tell them. Just go ahead and tell them. Just share your life with them. You know, a lot of times we try to get them saved. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We got to do things to get them saved. We just need to show the life. We just need to reveal who he is and who he is in us and let our light so shine, right? That when they see the good works, they give our Father in heaven the glory. They give him honor. They give him praise just by us living. And it's the living the life in the presence of God. Amen. Of hearing him and being hungry for him. Look at this one. 5, we need to recognize that his word is his presence. His word is his presence. How is that? John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And he was in the beginning with God. So his word is his presence. So when you hear the word of God, we need to understand his presence is there. When the word comes out, his presence is there because he is the word. So when you speak the word, you speak his presence into being where you are. He's already in you. So we need to make sure that what we're giving away to people is the Lord's words. It's what he's saying. It's what he has said and what he is saying today. People need to hear what God has to say for them, to them. Did you hear Dylan about, Dylan, where are you? There you are. Dylan leaned into the microphone and began to talk about some of the things that you know, just briefly about some of the bad things that he did. You know, I just for that moment, you know what I said? Me too. Me too. Me too until the day that he showed up in my life. All of us can say, me too, Dylan. I was at that same place and probably did worse things than you ever thought about, to be honest with you. You know, but see, the thing is, the honesty comes out of people that I was this, but now I'm this. I was in darkness, but now I'm in the light. I was lost, but now I'm saved. I'm born again. I was blind, but now I see. Sounds a little bit like a song, doesn't it? I said, well, oh yeah, y'all know what it is. So understand that we recognize that his word, when his word is spoken, his presence is there. Amen? Yeah. We really need to capture that and really set that inside us, that every time I hear the word, now, like I said, his presence is everywhere. We already know that. But see, the thing about his manifested presence is when he shows up in a way and all of a sudden, you know, it's not just altogether that you're hearing, it's your feeling. You know, God does want you to feel him. We can't depend upon our feelings all the time. But how many of you had God has ever tickled you? The Lord just really tickled you in just such a way and just made you feel real good. Is there a few of you? The rest of you's missing out. Get in a little closer. You know, he is altogether wanting to be our father. What father doesn't enjoy playing with his kids as much as communicating with his kids? He wants to play with us. Now, God, yeah, absolutely. You know, if God sits in the heavens and laughs, do you think he's alone? That he don't want you to laugh with him? How many of you have ever looked in the mirror and laughed? I do that quite often, I really do. I remember distinctly looking in the mirror and sort of like, boy, you are something else. Talking to myself, you are something else. You know, so... But how many of you have ever had a bad hair day? No, not really. You looked at yourself and you had just had a bad. I've had a bad two hair day. So All right. But see, it's about speaking his word. You know, sometimes you just need to speak the word of God over yourself. Speak the word of God over yourself. David did that. Why are you cast down, oh my soul? You know, so God wants us to hear the word of God, and he wants us to be able to speak the word of God. Here's one, number six. Intimacy is key to being his sheep who anticipates his voice. The intimacy. That's found over in John 10:27. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I know them, and they follow me. I mean, you know, he just defined his sheep. The word sheep there does not mean just an animal. It also means anyone who is walking forward before him. Walking forward before him. I remember years ago we had an outside dog that if he was out there, he'd get around your leg a little bit, but when you started walking, he'd be out in front of you. He wouldn't be behind. He'd be out in front of you. Why is that? To hear the voice. To hear the voice. To be in a place to where the forward speaking of God is coming to where you are, because you're walking before him. He's still leading, because you just let a dog go that way, and you just start going this way and start talking. You know where he's going? Zoop, you're coming right back over here. That's the way we need to be as God's people. Walking forward, not backward. Walking forward before him. And he wants us to do that. And he says this word here, he said, give him an audience. Give him the attention. You be the audience for God. Give him the attention. Be attentive to listen. Be attentive to hear and to watch what he has to say to you. That word here also means to let it govern you. Let it govern you. In other words, you do, you obey what he tells you to do, and you let it govern you. It also means to lean in. Lean in. Talking to you a little bit. Lean. Y'all are not leaning. No. Some of y'all are still not leaning. There you go. Yeah. See, the whole thing is to lean in. Somebody, oh, are you saying something? You hear that? All of a sudden you realize God may be trying to tell you something, and you say, oh, wait a minute, hold a second. See, it's a leaning forward. It's a leaning in to hear him. It also, Paul said it this way, I press forward to know him. I press forward. So that pressing forward is one of those things. Actually, the word press there also means to persecute. It means you can press on people with an evil intent, and it's persecution to them. But you can press in to hear. It's not persecution to the Lord. But what we're doing is pressing in to be able to, Paul said, to be able to attain. He said, I want to let you guys know, I haven't attained everything yet. And he's writing, I haven't attained everything yet, but I'm pressing in. You know, this thing about him pressing, we just say, okay, I want to press in. How did he do that? He said, I press on in order to lay hold of that which I was laid hold for. See, God laid hold of you for something. Have you attained that yet? So it's not just about salvation. Salvation was there, but have you attained the fullness of what he has laid hold of you for? See, that is a pressing in. Well, how do you do that? Well, he explains it. He said, this one thing I do. I love how he said, this one thing I do. And I'm expecting to hear one thing. But he uses this one thing, and it's got three steps in this one thing. What is it, Paul? This one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind. Forgetting what's behind you. It's already gone. It's already done. We've already made the mess that we made, everything. See, the enemy reaches back behind and starts dangling in your present and messes up your future. So that's his plan. But he said, this one thing I do, and this one thing is forgetting what's behind me. Amen? See, some of us, we really need to just leave those things that are behind us so we can move on. We'll stay trapped in a moment of regret, in a moment of things that we've done we didn't really mean to do, or some of them we did mean to do. Leave it behind you. You are here in the present, and you have a future in front of you. Every time we start dragging what's behind us, it's a load to drag and it's a load to carry. And as long as we keep that as a part of who we are, not who we were, if we keep it as a part of who we are, the enemy will constantly add to it, add to it, and add to it. And the burden gets heavier and heavier, and then you get to places, what's the use? This Christian life's not working for me. Why doesn't God take this away? He's already done that. He has washed everything away, paid for everything that was ever done wrong. Paul said, this one thing I do, I forget what lies behind me. What's the second part? He said, and I reach forward. I'm reaching forward for what lies ahead. What lies ahead for you? It can be what the news says, and you don't want to reach for nothing. Whatever the news is giving you, you don't want to reach for anything. But what has God given you? What does God have in your next step, in your next few steps? What does God have in your future? Yeah, it's a great future. But if we have no clue to see it of what God has been speaking to us about, we can't reach for it. We've got to be able to reach forward and reach for that thing that God says is yours. See, it's one thing to be able, we have everything. We haven't a little Jesus. We don't have a little part of Jesus. We have all of Jesus inside of us. But in our behavior, in our soul, in our mind, in our will, and emotion, we have to reach for that saying, wait a minute, I'm tired of my thinking being like this. I'm tired of my choosing being like this. I'm tired of my feeling being like this. I'm going to reach forward for what God says I already have. You don't have to create it. He's already given it to you. Paul says, I forget this thing because this anchor that's behind me, I'm cut loose from that. And the enemy will say, well, what about? Well, he forgave me for that too. That's gone from me too. And what do you know? I'm reaching forward. What are you reaching forward to? I'm reaching forward to the things that God's already told me about that I can have. That I can not only experience in my being, but I can experience in my walk. So our walk needs to be different than what it used to be. Well, how far is used to be? It could have been yesterday. It doesn't have to be, well, when I was 8 years old. No. Your walk needs to be different sometimes than just a few minutes ago. Reach for it. Be reaching for it. Why? Because it's there for your taking. Well, y'all, see, you want to hear God's voice? You have to anticipate and you have to reach for what he's telling you. Reach for it. And then this third thing he says, and then I press toward the goal. Now I'm pushing in and I'm pressing in toward the goal. What goal? The goal that Christ has set for us to attain. What is your next goal in God? What is your next season in God? I'm not asking you what is the next season of your life, because some of us don't know what's around the corner, but I know who's around the corner. I may not know what's around the corner, but I know who's around the corner. And I know when we get there, we'll both be around the corner together. So what are you reaching for? What is the goal? What is the goal? Do you have a goal of having a dialogue with God every day? That should be one of our goals. I want God to speak to me today. I want to know what he wants me to do. I want to know how he wants me to do it. Okay. So these are the things. And really, Luke 5 says, the multitude were pressing around him. There's that pressing. Pressing around him. Why? Why were you doing that? Listening to the word of God. That's in the scripture. The crowd was, multitude was pressing around him to listen. Not just to hear, to listen to the word of God. To actively position ourselves in a place. God, I really believe God is saying something to me that I really need to share, or maybe you don't need to share. Maybe it's just for you. He said the crowd was pressing. And by the way, if we stop the pressing, we stop growing. How do we know that? Hebrews 6:1 says this, therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about Christ. Wait a minute. What are you saying? I need to leave the elementary teaching? Yeah, leave the first grade. Graduate to the second grade, third grade. Get out of kindergarten. Really is what he said. Get out of kindergarten. He said, leaving the elementary, it's not bad things, but how many times do you want to sit down and somebody teach you the ABCs? Hey, we're having a class next Sunday. Come on out. We're going to 9:30. We're going to teach everybody the ABCs. Oh, the house will be full. No. People don't want to hear that. If you're used to bigger, better things, if you're used to stronger meat, you're going to leave the place of milk. He says, leaving the elementary teachings about Christ and let us press on to maturity. Pressing on helps you to grow up, helps us to mature in the things of God. It's that pressing. You know, most of us are being depressed because we're not pressing. You know, and we need to fight that. So press in, lean in. See, there's a passage over in Proverbs. This is in the Message Bible. Proverbs 3:6 says, listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go. For he's the one who will keep you on track. Listen to God, his voice, in everything you do. Well, everything? Everything you do. Listen for his voice in everything you do. Listen for his voice in everywhere you go. Because he is the one who will keep you on track. Do you believe that? But see, that's him. That's what he wants us to do. It's what how he wants us to behave. And there's. I want you to go to, or write it down, Habakkuk 2, verses 1 through 3. And I want you to hear this. These are five steps in hearing God. You want five steps in hearing God? Or you want one step? How many? You want 10? How many do you want? I got five for you. You might be able to come up with some more, but listen to this. It's in this passage. Watch this. I will climb my watchtower. I will climb my watchtower. I will wait, and I will look to see what the Lord will say. Then it goes on and says, the Lord gave me this answer. Write down clearly on tablets what I reveal to you so that you can read them at a glance. There's your five steps. What's the first one? It means to climb. Climb the tower. What do you mean climb the tower? It means find a place that you can get away to. Go to a place that's quiet. The Bible says that often that Jesus went away in the wilderness or away to the mountain to be able to hear God, to be able to hear his Father. He wanted time with his Father. And it says he often went. He often went to places that was quiet, wasn't anybody around. You know, I'm convinced that most of us do not like silence. For some of us, silence is not golden. Because we got all this turmoil that we deal with. But he says, climb your watchtower. Make an effort to get to the place to withdraw from everything to be able to listen and be able to hear God. That's step one, to be able to withdraw. You don't withdraw and stick your earbuds in. You withdraw. You set everything aside. You withdraw. You find this quiet place. You find this secret place to be alone. The second one, it says wait. Brother Lee's doing a teaching on waiting. Waiting on the Lord, and also what does waiting mean? What are you waiting for? Yeah. Well, what are you waiting for? So what are we waiting for? Are we waiting on the Lord? Why do we wait? What does that look like? That's what he's teaching on this. The next thing we have to do is wait. What does that mean? It means to calm your thoughts and your emotions. Calm your thoughts and your emotions. Be still and begin to know who he really is. Be still. Don't be in a hurry and don't bring books with you. I hadn't finished this. I hadn't finished. There's time for that, but this is not the time. Next one. Look to see. Step three, look to see. Now what am I looking at? Now you can look in the scriptures. Once you withdraw and you wait to see what God is saying, now you can look into the scriptures, look into your heart of what scriptures you do know. Does that make sense? Look to the scriptures. Look to see what he's saying. Write it down. God speaks to you, write it down. Get you a journal. Get you something, to a notebook or something, and just write it down. Let it be something very special that he said to you that you're going to hold on to and that you can go back. And the fifth one is to review what you heard, to go back and read it at a glance, to be able to read it. It's got to be important if God said it. Amen? So you begin to see that and see what God is doing in our lives, but it's intimacy that is the key to that. Seven, understand that disagreement with what he said causes you to grumble, and stumble and lose awareness of his presence. When we begin to disagree with what God is saying, what God is telling us, it'll cause us to grumble. How many of you know that to be the truth? How many of you said, no, I'm not doing that? You know God spoke to you? How many of you have ever said, I'm not doing that? I got one honest person in here. I've done that several times. God said something. Number one, that can't be God. But it was. I'm not doing that. Then all of a sudden you realize it is him saying it. And then if you don't do it, you see it later saying, I missed it. I missed what he said. But guess what? You don't ever fail the test with God. You get to take it over. And it's an open book test. You get to take it over. You hear me? You get to take it all over. Hey, you failed this one? We think we failed, but he said, okay, I'll give you another opportunity to learn this that I want you to learn. See, he wants us to be able to do that. But see, over in John 6, he tells the disciples that's following the whole hillside there, and he said, hey, listen, God, I got another word for you. Here you go. He's got something to say. Everybody's leaning in. He's got something to say. Let's lean in. If you're going to follow me, you're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. They ain't doing that. Whole hillside cleared out. They all left. And the Bible says these were never to follow him again. Hear those words. They said no to what Jesus was saying, and it impacted their life so much that they never followed him again. Powerful, isn't it? The rejection of what God is saying. But here, the disciples are hanging around, and they go to him and say, Jesus, we're supposed to be building the kingdom. Have you noticed everybody's leaving? The thing that you're saying is too hard. It's too difficult. They didn't like it. What did Jesus say? Jesus actually puts his entire ministry on the line. His entire ministry is on the line. He says, same goes for you. You're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood if you're going to follow me. Look, they could have all walked away, yes or no? Yes. They could have all left him. He puts his entire ministry of what he's done on the line to lose it all. You know what? He just went and got 12 more disciples. So when we disagree, he said he saw where they stumbled and that because they grumbled among themselves. You ever grumbled over what God has told you? Because you didn't like it? I just don't like it. I want you to go back and make this right. I want you to go back and ask this person to forgive you. But Lord, what they did, I'm not talking about that. I'm asking you to go, are you hearing me? I want you to go back and make this right. We have the ministry of what? Reconciliation. I want you to go back and make this right with this person. I'm waiting on them. Well, I'm telling you. I know you're telling me, Lord, but that's not the way I want to do it. I want to do it a different way. So it's just the grumbling and it's the stumbling. But yet it's the word of God that's coming to you. Okay. He goes on and he says, look, I'm here. The words that I speak are spirit and they are life. The words that he speaks is spirit and life. So when you're saying the things that God is saying, you're speaking spirit words. You're speaking life words, powerful words. But Jesus made it very clear to them. He said, when you start disagreeing with this and when you start rejecting this or are laying back because you just don't really think you want to do it, you know, it causes you to stumble and it causes you to grumble. We have to be real with the passages. We have to be real with the Word of God. We really do. You know, because the enemy would like, he said, don't do that. Don't, you don't have to do that. You know, and if we follow that voice, we're following the wrong voice. All right. Then the next thing I'm going to try to get through. The next thing is know that hearing God allows you to experience God. Hearing God allows you to experience God. How is that so? Oh, in Romans 10:17, it says, so faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of the Lord, by the word of God. So here's the way this works. Hearing will lead you to faith. Hearing the word of God, hearing will lead you to faith. Faith will lead you to action. Because faith without works is dead. It's useless. And we all got faith for this. And then sometimes we say that, but we don't do that. Hearing will lead you to faith. Faith will lead you to action. Action will lead you to experience God. While your actions, you're experiencing God by obeying the word of God, the word of the Lord. Amen. And I'm going to try to close here. The next one is dullness of hearing keeps you feeding on milk and stifles growth for leadership. If you want to grow in leadership, you can't stay on milk to begin with, and you can't be dull of hearing. What does that dull of hearing mean? It doesn't mean they don't hear at all. It means they're not willing to exercise what God is saying to do. There's a dullness it's a take it or leave it for me. You hear me? I remember one guy I was talking to, he said, you know, I talked to him about church, you know, and he said, that's not for me. I said, well, what is? What is for you when it comes to the things of God? Well, I really hadn't thought about that. He said, I just don't want church. And I said, that's his people. We're not perfect, and we don't do everything right. Matter of fact, you can get hurt in church. Why is that? It's got people in it. But see, when you find out that somebody's hurt, what do you do? What are you supposed to do? Go make the thing right. go bring healing to the hurt. We're imperfect people. We're imperfect leaders. How many of you ever been around somebody and said, well, I was hurt at church one time and I don't care to go back? Have you met anybody out there that's like that? You know, they're all over the place. You know, but the thing is, you gotta be what God calls you to be and then do what God's called you to do. What he's telling you to do is go make it right. If there's a mistake that's been made by leadership or somebody in the church, go make it right. See, that's God's voice. That's what he wants you to do. He even says, he says, man, when you're gathered together and you're having a great time and you bring an offering down to me, and right there is when you remember. Well, why do you remember that? Right at that very time, why is it that you would remember that? I got news for you. It's God telling you. Yeah, when you're bringing the offering to the Lord, and he says, you remember there's something between you and a brother. Where is the emphasis from the Lord? He said, leave before you present it. Leave it. Go make it right with your brother, and then come back after that and present it to the Lord. You see the emphasis? The emphasis is not, I want to make sure I get what's mine. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I want you to make sure that the relationship that I'm telling you to have with your brothers and sisters is very important to me. So leave your gift. Don't even present it. Just leave your gift. Go make this thing right between you and your brother. See, that's God. That's God's voice. You know why? Because all of a sudden we're all about God until he says, what about Jack? What about Sue? Are you hearing me? So what about this? And see, the reason you're remembering it is because he's reminding you. Is anybody hearing me? Yes. See, this is the very thing that we need to live out, not just hear about, but live out. Okay, so then it goes on. The next one, hearing and practicing solid food trains your senses to discern good and evil. I think Brother Mike talked about that last month. But see, here it is. But solid food is for the mature who, because of practice what? The word. Because of practice, they have their senses trained to discern good and evil. If you do not have discernment today, you can head down a wrong road in a hurry because it's going to be painted as good. But if you're not discerning, but he said, how am I going to have my senses trained to discern good and evil? Practice righteousness. What do you mean righteousness? You're righteous. Don't have to earn it. He's already given it to you if you're his. But see, the Bible said that this word, you're not accustomed to it, means you have not experienced in practice what he's told you about righteousness. See, we're too busy about trying to attain righteousness instead of living out of righteousness to do the work and the damage against darkness. We're still trying to make sure we hold it together. He's got you. He's got you. It's his righteousness to begin with. All right. And here's this last one. Willingness to obey before he speaks allows you to know if it's God or not. That's over in John 7:17. Is that if any man is willing to do his will, he shall know from the teaching whether it is of God or whether I speak on my own initiative. You know, that's a lot for all of us. But here's the thing about it. Say yes to God before you ever ask him. Be willing to say, God, how many of you have said, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do? How many of you get in a real rough place and say, God, get me out of this one and I'll take care of the rest of them? Well, we don't really say that, but sometimes we act that way. Say yes to him. He said, be willing to obey me even before I speak. Think about that. He said, you'll know it's me. Got a heart to obey his will. Whatever his will is, heart to obey his will, then you'll be able to know when he says something, that's my God. That's the Lord. He's speaking to us all the time. We're just not in tune to hear him. How many of you want to be more in tune to hear him? Amen. Me too. Father, thank you again today for your word. Thank you for the revealing of your word, revealing of who you are, for teaching us in ways that sometimes we're just not used to. Lord, we want to lean in. We want to begin to press in our spiritual life, saying, Lord, speak. Speak to me, because your servant, your friend is listening. I'm listening. And I want to, I'm setting my heart in a place to say yes to you before you ever tell me what it is. Because I want to make sure it's you that's telling me. Fill our mouths with your word. Fill our mouths with your spirit. Overflow us in a way that we're so full of you that when we get bumped into, when we get knocked over, all that comes out is you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless all of you. God bless you. You're at liberty to go.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.